If I was to say, what's your response to this word, cop? Now, you might have a good response or a negative response, and there's been times when I've had a good response, and there's other times when I've had a negative response to when I think of the word cop. You know, being arrested, you kind of got to get by that it's his fault or her fault, you know, those types of things. But really, the word cop does not mean law enforcement officer. It's come to mean that. We've assigned that word to meaning a law enforcement officer of some sort. But really, the word cop means to obtain, seize, or catch. That's what cop means. And maybe that's why we've assigned it to law enforcement officers, is because they do those things. That they seize things, they catch things, and they obtain. They're after us. If you break the law, their job, we pay them to come after us, to catch us. So over the years, the name cop has been assigned because it's actually, we've changed it into a noun. It's really a verb. It's to catch. It's to catch. So the word means to obtain, seize, or catch. He seemed, here's some sentences that we might use, he seemed to have copped the blame for the whole mess. He copped the blame. He copped the blame for the whole mess. She managed to cop an invitation, to get an invitation, to receive an invitation. She managed to do that. And we can say, cop a plea. We hear that too in the legal realm. He copped the plea. He obtained a plea bargain. He did. He talked it out with the lawyers or the district attorney, and he copped the plea. We could say, cop out. I've got a way out. I took a way out. I copped out. I seized a way out. The word cop means to seize or to catch or to obtain. And I want to work with a phrase this morning. It says this, cop an attitude. To cop an attitude. Have you copped an attitude? Nobody said, man, he is so pleasant and she is so nice. She's copped an attitude. Really, that's not the way it goes, is it? To cop an attitude is a very negative thing. You've copped an attitude. And I heard my mom say to me before, don't cop an attitude with me, young man. And I knew that didn't mean don't smile at me, don't hug me, don't do what you're told. You know, it didn't mean that. It means you've got something that's not healthy. To cop an attitude is to behave in a rude or offensive or contemptuous manner. You cop an attitude, you have a poor quality attitude. You've copped an attitude. You have a poor quality attitude. You have an attitude that is rude or offensive or contemptuous in manner. You've copped an attitude. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, as we would read down through those 20 or 21 verses, we see a collection of people that are copping an attitude. There's attitude all over that chapter. And as you read down through, this is the way it starts. It starts off pretty good. And it's the way it starts. So then, men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the secret things of God. Now, it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. We talked about that some last week, about our faithfulness last week. It starts off pretty good, but from verse 3 on down, we start to really see the attitude of the people in the environment. They start to cop an attitude. They have an offensive attitude. We see verse 3 starts off with this. It says this, I care very little if I am judged by you. There's a judgmental attitude going on. Paul said, I know, I can feel it. I see it in you. That can't be the controlling factor. You're trying to control the environment. You've copped an attitude. You've got a judgmental attitude. And that's just the start of this passage of Scripture where the church, the people, the collection of people are copying an attitude. If we move down through the passage of Scripture, it says this in the next verse, in verse 7. What do you have that you did not receive? That's a rhetorical question. The answer is none, nothing. What did you have that you did not receive? And then he says, and if you did not receive it, why do you boast as though you did not receive it? You got a as if attitude, as if you're all down in a bag of chips. You got an as if attitude. You got a judgmental attitude. You got an as if attitude. You think you didn't receive that. You did receive that. Someone else gave you that. I can see it all over. Don't cop. Paul said, don't cop an attitude with me. You've got a judgmental attitude, and you've got an as-if attitude. And then verse 8 says this. Already you have what you want, exclamation point. Woo! I'm surprised at that. Already you have been made rich. You have become kings, and without us. You got an as-if attitude. You got a judgmental attitude. Now you got an unappreciative attitude. You think you're going to get here without other people being alongside of you? What is wrong with you? You're copying an attitude. You got an unappreciative attitude. You think you got where you are, and you don't remember the people who helped you get there. How unappreciative are you? How as if are you? How judgmental are you? And he continues in the passage in verse 10. He says, oh, we are fools for Christ, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honored, and we are dishonored. You mean you got a better than you attitude? It's all over you. You've got a better than us attitude. You think you're better than everybody else. And you're judgmental. You're unappreciative. And you got an as-if attitude. Do you know how many people work around you to help you get where you're at? And you don't even appreciate them. And you think you're better than them. You would be nowhere without them. They build you up. They stand next to you. They run blocker for you at times. And you got an as-if attitude. Well, it stinks, and you're copping an attitude. And you got a better than you attitude. Verse 18 goes on, some of you have become arrogant. And if you're reading from the King James, it says, you've become puffed up. Look at me. Woo! Paul said, really, you're judgmental and you're kind of unappreciative and you got a better than other people attitude. And you got an as-if attitude. And now you're puffed up and now you're arrogant. That attitude stinks. You have a better, you're copying an attitude. If you feel, just listen, New Life. If you feel an environment with a judgmental attitude, an as-if attitude, an unappreciative attitude, a better-than-you attitude, and an arrogant attitude, the environment's going to stink. And it's going to be very destructive. Are you with me this morning? I didn't want to preach this either. But I got to admit it, sometimes I cop an attitude. And if I can admit it for you, sometimes you cop an attitude too. It's easier for me to admit your sins than it is mine. But I got the mic right now, and if I come around and everybody can admit, I've copped an attitude. I've got an unhealthy attitude at times, and my unhealthy attitude is creating destruction. And my unhealthy attitude is creating a disturbance. My unhealthy attitude is kind of like a category 2, 3, 4, depending on the day. My healthy attitude might be a D9 sometimes, and maybe just a D3 other days. My unhealthy attitude is not producing a positive thing in the environment because I've copped an attitude. I've grabbed a hold of an attitude. I caught an attitude. And if you search the internet and said, what are the most unhealthy attitudes around our world today? And actually Google has a list of those things for you. And this includes this. It's because argumentative attitude. That's very prevalent in our world today. We like to argue. There's an argumentative attitude. You copped an argument. You copped an attitude with an argumentative attitude. And you're opinionated. Well, I'm just opinionated. No, you've copped an attitude and you stink. Rudeness and critical and deceitful. There are those things running rampant in our world and running rampant perhaps in our life. There are things, indifference and irresponsible and jealousy and resentful and selfishness. Those things are an attitude that we have grabbed a hold of, along with the judgment, along with the unappreciative, along with the as-if attitude. We've grabbed a hold of these attitudes, and we think we have the right to have this attitude. And in reality, our copying an attitude is very destructive. What are we going to do about it? What do we want to do about it? Do we know that our copying an attitude is very destructive? Did you ever go into an environment with a very opinionated, a judgmental, and an as-if attitude and thought you really helped the environment? If it is, you've got a deceitful attitude. Because you did not help the environment. Because you brought destruction to the environment. And Paul is telling the church, you're bringing destruction to the environment. You're bringing judgmentalness to the environment. You're bringing an as-if to the environment. You're very opinionated, and you're bringing that to the environment. I'm gonna ask you, you need to let go of that attitude, because that attitude is bringing destruction to the environment that you're part of. What are we going to do about it? So I ask myself this question, how's my attitude? Am I copying an attitude? Do we know that our copying an attitude is very destructive? Maybe it would be easier, and maybe we could just switch the whole gears here and we could start confessing others' problems. And I wrote that down here. I said, God, can I just discuss other people's attitudes? I got it in my notes. Please. It'd be a lot easier if I can just talk about how to handle other people's poor attitudes. Really, I don't want to deal with my attitude, God. I just want to deal with other people's attitudes. And maybe can you just give me some advice, God, of how to live inside of someone else's poor attitude? And God says, you can do that, and I can empower you to do that, but the attitude is you. It's you that's bringing it. Well, you don't know my wife or my husband. Yep, and you don't know you, apparently. Because it's always easier to see someone else's attitude. It's always easier to point out someone else's opinionatedness. It's always easier to point out that someone else is judgmental. It's always easier to point out that someone else is unappreciative. It's always easier to point out someone else's issue. I don't want you to point out someone else's issue. I want you to deal with your issue. And watch what I can do. And watch how I can grow you into something powerful. Because the ending verse of this whole passage is this: the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. I find that very interesting, that's right on the heels of when he's talking about all the negative attitudes that's in the environment. And he said, I'm telling you one thing, God's kingdom is not about talking about it. God's kingdom is about power. God's kingdom is about doing something about it. God doesn't want your lip service. He wants you to stand in the power and watch what he can do. And it's the same word we know, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. It's the same word. It's the kingdom of God. Your Christian walk is not about flapping your lips. It's about standing in the life-changing power of the Holy Spirit. He said, you stand in the power and I'll change your attitude. You stand in the power and I'll be able to transform you, because it's transforming power. You want a new attitude? You need to let the power come upon you. And watch what I can do. and watch what I can do in your life. The kingdom of God is not about talk. It's not a matter of talk, but of power. Don't talk about it. Stand in the power, the Holy Spirit power, the transformative power, the wonder-working power. Lord, adjust my attitude. Push the button before I ruin something. Let me just remove a lie that the enemy might tell you. My attitude is not affecting anybody. It's ruining people right now. And until we can get the understanding that when we cop an attitude and we bring that poor attitude, that destructive attitude into the environment, when we do that, people are ruined. Environments are ruined. Have you ever been to a family gathering and all of a sudden somebody shows up that nobody has talked to in a year or two, and all of a sudden they show up to the picnic? You can feel it, baby. You can feel it. And all of a sudden, that attitude has been brought to the environment. That attitude of unforgiveness. That attitude of I'm all that in a bag of chips. That attitude of judgmental. All of a sudden changes it. The barometric pressure, I think, changes. If you had a barometer hanging on the wall, it would go through the roof because something just happened. Can we just say, my attitude is ruining people. My attitude is ruining situations. My attitude is ruining environments. And God, I'm done. I'm done ruining my family. I'm done ruining my workplace. I'm done ruining my family. I'm done. I'm not going to talk about it anymore. I'm going to stand in your wonder-working power. Because your kingdom is not about talk. It's about power. You can't do it. You can't do it without God. You can't change your attitude. And then you think God's going to show up. You're going to spend a whole lifetime trying to change your attitude and let God, and so God will show up. You got to let God show up so your attitude can change. You got to stand in His power. So I want to do something this morning. I want my attitude to change. And again, maybe I don't know your situation. Maybe I don't know your environment. I'm not the one saying it. God is. Are we done copying an attitude? Are you ready to stand in the power? And I'm going to go to Psalm 51 this morning because I'm done talking about it. I'm done accepting my attitude. I'm done thinking I'm more ahead of you, or I'm better than the next guy down the street. At least I don't yell across the street. At least I don't. I'm so tired of at least I don't. I want some more power. I want to stand in the power. Psalm 51, David had moved himself out of the power because he had sin in his heart, because he had sin in his life. And Psalm 51 is a passage that is dealing with sin. And just so we are clear, let me make this very plain. Copying an attitude is sin. So we need to stop being okay with it. We need to stop blaming someone else for my attitude. She made me do it. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Will we stop blaming each other? Will we stop blaming people around us? Will we stop being okay with it? Will we stand in the wonder-working power? Will we know that our copying an attitude is sin? Are we ready to deal with it? Are we ready to say, God, here I am. Wash over me. God, forgive me. God, do what you need to do. I'm standing in your power because this attitude is ruining my family. This attitude is ruining my relationships. And I'm done with it. Psalm 51. Just spend a few more moments in Psalm 51. Let's start with this statement. We're going to build a prayer this morning. And when we get done building this prayer will be on Facebook, and I also have a few copies of it that we'll have at the door when we're done. Will you start praying this prayer with me? Will we commit to this prayer? Will we commit to this prayer for God to deal with our attitudes? Will we commit for this prayer for God to give us an attitude of healthiness, an attitude of that He would want us to do, that we won't any longer be copying an attitude, but we will stand in His power. Psalm 51. Here's the beginning of the prayer. My God, God, my attitude needs adjusting. Push it back one. God, my attitude needs adjusting. We can't go any further until we're ready to say that and mean it. Please don't add a percentage on that. God, well, yeah, I'm doing pretty good. My attitude needs adjusting, like maybe 8%. I'll give it 9%. God said, man, you ain't ready to deal with any of it. Will we just be able to stand before God and say, God, my attitude needs adjusting? Do you trust the wonder-working power? Do you trust the power of the Holy Spirit? Do you trust Him? Do you trust Him to be able to do what He wants to do and give you an attitude that will transform the world and not destroy it? Listen, 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 and I know you know this. You don't have to watch the news too long to know there's enough copying an attitude out there right now. Amen. For crying out loud, somebody's got to have a good attitude. Will we start with this? Will we start with God? My attitude needs adjusting. Verse 1 of Psalm 51 says this. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. God's love and His compassion. In God there is mercy. In God there is free, unmerited favor and love. And David knows it. David is still saturated with sin. And he just says, God, I know I need a touch from you. God, I know I need to stand in your power, God. And I know I don't have the right to stand there. God, I am so unworthy to stand in your presence. I am so undone. I can't stand in your presence. God, but I know that you're a merciful God. I know you're a loving God. I know you're a compassionate God. And David comes before God and stands in that power, and he knows that he deserves none of it, and neither do you and neither do I, but we can stand in the power because God is merciful, because God loves you, because God is compassionate, because God is the wonder-working God, and he knows you're not going to earn your way to stand in his presence. So he's just going to give you the ability to stand in his presence. He's going to give you the ability because he is gracious. He's going to give you the ability because he loves you. He's going to give you the ability because it's his nature to come in compassion toward those who can't help themselves. Come on now. It's his nature. So God, my attitude needs adjusting. I'm tired of this as if attitude. I'm tired of this opinionated attitude. I'm tired of this ungrateful attitude. I'm tired of this judgmental attitude. I'm tired of this self attitude. God, I need you. I need you to change me, God. The second phrase of the prayer will be this. It is because of your mercy, love, and compassion that I'm able to make this request. Look what he says in verse 1 and through 3. Blot out my transgressions, God. Wash away all my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgression and my sin are always before me. We see the words blot out. We see the words wash away. We see the words cleanse. And maybe you're thinking right now, I don't know if I deserve that. That's why we're standing here on God's mercy and His love and His compassion. That's why we're standing here and agreeing with God. My attitude needs to be changed. And you're the wonder-working power, God. And you can do it. And you're going to let me into your presence because you're a gracious, merciful, loving, compassionate God. And I need something from you, God. I need to have blot out my transgressions. I need to wash away my iniquities. I need to be cleansed from my sin. I know I'm jacked up. Lord, I know I'm off the rail. I know I'm in trouble. I know I've copped an attitude, God. Will you blot out? Will you erase some? Will you wash away? Will you put me in the washer, God? Will you cleanse me? Will you purify me like you would a temple, God? And I love the words transgression, iniquities, and sin. Look what he says, transgression, this deliberate rebellion from God. God, I have rebelled against you. I have done things that you won't want me to do, God. I've got this attitude because I'm rebelling against you, God. I need to be cleansed from my rebellion, God. I need you to blot out my rebellion, God. I need you to wash away my rebellion, God. I'm a rebel, God. And I have rebelled against you. And I have iniquity. You know what iniquity is? You're damaged from original sin. I've got damage in me, God. I've got damage. I've got wounds in me. I've got insecurities in me. I've got this attitude, God, because I have been wounded in life. I got this attitude toward other people because somebody else has infiltrated my heart, God. I want you to do something with that. I want my iniquity washed to God. I want my hurt and my pain washed to God. Because I know that my rebellion, and I know that the iniquity, and I know my sin, just my individual wrong sin, a copying an attitude might be because you're just choosing to do that. If you've ever made the statement, I know God wants, but you've chosen to sin against God. Don't you love it when a gracious and merciful God will let you into his presence and you can say, you know what, God, I've rebelled against you. God, I've got original malfunction in my system. And God, I have chosen to sin against you. I have chosen to have this attitude. God, this has been my attitude for 5 years, for 10 years, for 50 years. God, this is my attitude. I have chosen this attitude and I'm done with it, God. I want my attitude blotted out. I want to be washed. I want to be cleansed. The second and next phrase of the prayer would be, God, I ask that you wash me, heal me, and forgive me. Are you with me this morning? I've already got 6 pages of notes this morning, down from 14. I thought maybe I just need to send it out and bring a lunch because it's going to be long. But I got it down to 6 because I think if we can take this prayer and we can really let our hearts out before God and stand in his wonder-working power, that he's going to do something in our attitudes. Listen, when I allow a book of the Bible to kind of lead me where I go, see, normally I would jump around this. You know how many times in 20 years I preached on this passage of Scripture? I have never preached on this. Because sometimes it's easier to go around when I got to talk about attitudes. See, I would rather talk about salvation because we can feel good about that, right? I know Christ. Woo! And everybody's like tooting their horns. That's one thing I miss about outdoor services. You know, people are blowing their horns. I've been given new life in Christ. Beep, 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 beep. I got a bad attitude. Ooh, crickets. Okay, now I have 7 pages of notes because I just took that page and I threw it out before I come here this morning. And I used it anyway. God, I ask that you wash me, that you heal me, that you forgive me. Do we dare ask God that? Do we dare ask God for a new attitude? Look what he says in verse 4. Against you only, God, have I sinned and done evil in your sight so that you are proved right when you speak and are justified when you judge. God, I messed up our relationship, God. I can't imagine what I'm doing with these relationships. See, that's what he's saying. See, I think we have an idea that we can mess up our relationship with God and somehow our relationships will be okay on this earth. And God says, you are such a knucklehead. So here's the next line of the prayer that I'm going to ask us to pray. God, I realize that my cop and attitude is hindering our relationship. And if our relationship is hindered, all my other relationships are suffering. And just so you know, if you think your thing with God is okay and you're copying an attitude, your thing with God is not okay. Now, I'm not saying it wasn't okay an hour ago. But while you're copying an attitude, your thing with God is not okay. Because there's no way I can stand in the power, being empowered by God, and have a rude attitude. Well, I'm only human. Well, thank you, Captain Obvious. But there's something about you. There's something about you that God says you're in my presence. In my kingdom, your walk is not about talk. It's about power. Stand in the power and ask. Watch what I'll do with your attitude, you ungrateful, judgmental, as if opinionated attitude. Verses 5 and 6 says this: surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in my inner parts. You teach me wisdom in my inmost being. Here's the next phrase of the prayer: God, touch my inmost parts and change me. You know, there's been books written, and I'm thankful for the prayers of my wife. And she has prayed for God to change me and to do all kinds of wild stuff in my life. And God has done many of those things. But can you imagine if I'm standing in the gap for myself and I'm saying, God, change me. Because I'm here and ready to be changed. I'm here and ready to get a new attitude. I'm here and ready to be reprogrammed, God. I know in my inmost parts, we just sang a song that said, God cares about my soul. God, touch my inmost place and change me, God. Look what he says in verse 7. Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. This is the next phrase of our prayer. God, touch me with your hand of cleansing. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sin and blot out my iniquity. Joy follows cleansing. Joy follows cleansing. Joy follows cleansing. God, help me know and feel your touch. The next phrase. One more click. God, help me and know. Help me know and feel your touch. You see what I'm asking for there? Listen, this is in my thinking book. And just so you know, I'm going to pray this. And I'm going to be consistently praying this. Because I'm looking for something to be transformed inside of me. And I'm hoping that some of you will go along with me. I'm hoping that some of us will go together and we can watch what God is going to do. Look what he says in verse 10. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast or a right spirit within me. See what he's asking for? You see what he's asking for? God, I want it. Create in me a pure heart, God. Renew a steadfast spirit or a right spirit within me. See, that's the admission, my spirit is not right. That's producing this attitude. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast or a right spirit within me. Here's the next phrases of our prayer. God, I believe you can make me new. Do you believe that God can take what is old and make it new? Do you really believe that today? Because we're going to need to believe that, because some of us are down the stream a ways. And some of us have had an attitude for a while. And I've got to believe that God can make an old guy new. God, I want a new attitude. I believe you can make me new. I want a new attitude. We're finishing verse 11 and 12. Look what it says. Don't cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. You know why? Because the power comes from the Spirit. That's an admission that I'm not going to get to do this without the power, the wonder working, the transformative power of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to be able to do that. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Grant me a willing spirit, God, to walk in this new attitude that you're giving me. Do you believe that God's going to do that? Do we believe? Do we actually believe? Are we just going to fill up like 45, 48, 40, maybe 51 minutes because I had a little more notes. Maybe 51 minutes this morning. Now listen, I preached for 20 years. I preached several thousand sermons. I know how many pages of notes. I'm about 51 minutes. And you're almost done.
Keep preaching.
Says one. This is the final words of the prayer. I ask for the power to walk in this new attitude. So here's the prayer this morning. Here's the prayer. This is what I'm asking. I just had this uploaded to Facebook. So you can grab it right off of there. I have some copies here that Mason's going to have at the door. If you don't have access to Facebook, but if you do, because I have a feeling you're going to look at your phones a lot more than you're going to look at paper. Just being honest. So I would like you to put it on your phone. Will you start praying this prayer with me every morning? Will we start saying together, God, my attitude needs adjusting. It is because of your mercy and your love and your compassion that I'm even able to make this request. God, I ask that you wash me, heal me, and forgive me. God, I realize that my copying and attitude is hindering our relationship. And if our relationship is hindered, all my other relationships are suffering. God, touch my inmost place and change me. God, touch me with your hand of cleansing. God, help me know and feel your touch. God, I believe you can make me new. God, I want a new attitude. I ask for the power to walk in this new attitude. I dare you to start praying that. Not as just a rote prayer. Oh, for crying out loud, Pastor has said to do it. Let's just get it done here. That might even be a little dangerous. But can you imagine a group of people? Whether you're in this room or you're in the safe room or your home, can you imagine? Can you imagine a group of people that will start praying that prayer? And watch what God will do. Stand with me today. God, thank you for these moments together. Thank you that you never cop an attitude with me. And forgive me because I've copped an attitude a lot. I've copped an attitude this week. God, help us as we navigate through this prayer together, that we would really say, God, here I am. Touch me, heal me, forgive me, restore me, give me an attitude that you want me to have. God, I'm tired, I'm done. I'm done with this poor attitude. I'm done blaming it on someone else. I'm done blaming it on this world. I'm done blaming it on a situation that was in my life. I'm done. Because God, I know you can make me new. No matter what's been done, no matter how I've been forsaken, no matter what I've chosen to do, no matter how many crooked paths I've taken, no matter how many things I've done, you can make me new. God, I'm asking. I'm asking for us. I'm asking for me. I'm asking for a touch and a result of this prayer as we, as a body of believers, begin to pray it out and seek you and watch you do a wonder-working power in our life. Because your kingdom, your Christian walk, is not about talk. It's about power. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Have an amazing day.